Welcome! Welcome!
Welcome!
Welcome!
Welcome!
I don't know how to say it, guys. Nerdstravaganza. Nerdstravaganza. The Nerdstravaganza podcast. The Nerdstravaganza. How do I even fucking pronounce it? Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. Tom here taking the lead this week with my fellow nerds, Rick, Grant, and Keith. What's up, guys?
Vietnam, brother! That's what's up.
Explain yourself, sir.
I recently just finished BC2.
Oh.
For those who don't know, that's, I believe it's Bad Company 2.
Also known as Better Late Than Never, Ricky, but what did you think of...
I know. Dude, it was awesome. For my first hurrah back into console gaming, I'm surprised that I finished it. It was like, I think, only the second video game I've ever finished in my whole life.
And you finished just the single-player campaign? Or?
Yeah. And I finished that up, and then I decided I was going to jump. I jumped back a little bit and was playing a couple of the other missions just to try to get some of the achievements and whatnot. And then as of Tuesday, I discovered that the Vietnam add-on pack for multiplayer went on sale for half price. So I downloaded it, and I've been addicted, dude. It's awesome.
Now, you're not normally one for the multiplayer games like that, are you?
No, usually I was back in the day, but not – I kind of lost it around the Unreal Tournament days.
Ooh, those were good days, though.
Yeah. So partway through that, I bailed out, and then just now getting back into it. And I got to say, man, it's different. But it's better, I think.
Do you find, Rick, that you're – are you communicating with people, or are you just sort of like on silent mode?
I'm still in silent mode. I'm working my way up to it. I'm kind of finding my way around the game first because I'm just going in, you know, join a game, not joining a squad, just going in and kind of feeling my way around because I suck right now, so I don't want to like be on anybody's team and – screw them over. So I'd rather, you know,
get my... can't worry about that.
Ripen myself up, and then...
I haven't played the game. Is it... can you be Viet Cong or American, or is it just you're American?
It alternates.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I like this particular version is, like, when I first got BC2, I tried to play the online, or the multiplayer, and... dude, it was friggin' hardcore. I couldn't deal with it at all. But then my version that I bought had a free download of 1943, which is a World War II version of the game, and it was a lot slower paced and a lot more of a level playing field because you can't buy add-ons for your character or anything like that. So an assault class is an assault class is an assault class. It's just a matter of how good you actually are as a player in the game, not, you know, you got better equipment because you bought some add-ons and stuff like that.
And there's no grind, like level progression in that one?
No, it's just straight up basic capture the flag. And dude, I was addicted to that, like mental. And then the Vietnam is like a mix between the two. You can get upgrades and stuff like that, but you actually have to play to earn them, which to me, that's fine because I think somebody who's played enough to become, you know, a much higher rank and they've honed in on these other skills. So that doesn't bother me as much. Like I'm not even a rank one in that game and I'm taking some guys out and I'm gaining my points and moving up. And I'll notice when I get killed by somebody, I'm like, holy crap, like one shot, that guy took me out. And then I'll see like, okay, well, he's, you know, expert in marksman because he's this level and has played this much and blah, blah, blah. So,
and he's just good at the game.
Exactly. Okay. He's good at the game. So it's way different than how it was back in the day, but better.
Times change. Yeah.
So you'd say you're back as far as multiplayer, you're sold on it again, Rick.
I am. Like, I want you guys all to get the game, and we form a squad, and we do our squad against an open group of whatever. And
oh, I've got the game, and we will form a squad, and you'll see my skills on display.
I've checked your stats, dude. They're fairly impressive.
It's been a while though. I'm quite rusty, so.
Yeah, I haven't played a console first person shooter in, well, about a year or two. So.
You've not played this at all, Grant?
I've never played any Battlefield game. I've definitely never played a Bad Company game, and I rarely play first person shooters on the console. I'm a Team Fortress 2 guy on PC. That's my poison for this.
What is it?
Team Fortress 2 for PC.
Okay.
I've been playing that for a couple of years. I like keyboard and mouse. That's
superior
my preferred.
Superior control.
I have to agree. I think it's superior. I wasn't going to get into that. I don't want to start any blasphemous fights.
We have some PC bigots in our midst. Is that what I'm hearing?
Most definitely.
Only for first-person shooters and real-time strategy games. Those
only
are the
for
only
word,
ones.
Word processing and programming.
I don't know, man. I gotta kind of. I think for RTS, I think you're right, man. The keyboard and mouse is definitely.
I don't think there's any arguing that point. But that's
RTS.
Kind of a niche market.
Yeah.
RTS. I have Halo Wars that I've been wanting to work through just because I think it gets you points in that waypoint thing.
Yeah.
And good God, it's just so clunky. Like I definitely agree on an RTS. You need a mouse and a keyboard.
Now, some of them, there's an exception. Like, I think it's called Military Madness.
That's not RTS, though. That's the turn-based.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Scratch that.
Oh, trust me. Tom and I know all about some Military Madness.
Do you guys play it on the Xbox?
No, we spent a couple months in just this intensive study of how the game was made and the various mechanics, and we started working on our own version of it for
I think
Xbox.
I remember that.
Yeah, we got pretty far in it. It came out pretty good. We had some of the basic net code in place. I wrote just this amazing dialogue code that
was
people were talking. You could set the pitch of their voice, and then we go doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo along with them talking in the game.
Nice.
It was actually pretty sweet.
That's going to be the high point of my life right there is writing that code.
I was in charge of manipulating the actual game pieces, and I had the cursor moving around the map. Well, I did the map rendering, and I had the cursor moving around the map without any errors, I think. And you could actually select units by the time we stopped.
You could move them. Yeah, we had that movement range displayed.
Oh, that's right. Wow, yeah. We should pick that up. But screw this podcasting, Grant. Let's go.
We're going to start a company, Mainframe Enterprises. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. So how about you, Mr. Keith? What have you been into recently?
Me? All I've been doing is playing games on computers. The oldest console I've got a PlayStation. Actually, I got a PS2, and I haven't even cracked that open in the last God knows how many years.
When did you get a PS2?
Is it a PS1?
That gray box you have that plays Blasto?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a PlayStation 1.
There you go. That's how long it's been since I've had one. I don't even know what I got anymore.
I got this game called Spyro the Dragon. It's pretty cool.
I've been crashing these bandicoots all over the place. Yeah. I don't mean to brag.
As far as games go, I don't think anything's come out that's better than Blasto since on a console.
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement.
I was thinking I was the PC bigot, but we just haven't.
You've got superior graphics, superior gameplay, superior internet connections, and why would I want to, play something less capable?
Superior price tag for one thing.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, but that I can also use it to go on eBay, and I need the high graphics and fast processors and big video cards for all of that stuff.
He needs the blast processing so he can play some Sonic. Yeah.
The thing that got me out of, because I was all about, I was all about the PC gaming, but as soon as games started coming out that I needed to upgrade my video card to, and my, the bus is all changed, so I was going to have to get an entirely new computer, I just said, forget it, man. It's not, I can't do it.
Yeah, that can't be a pain in the ass to keep up to speed with, for sure. But I think we've hit a point where computers, PCs, at least outside of the business world, are strictly going to be for gamers because everybody's got tablets. They don't need word processors. They don't need Excel. They don't need to render this and render that. So I think computers have – I mean, we haven't had any new Intel processors in over 2 years. So I think we're almost at a tipping point where computers aren't going to be – what is it, Moore's Law? They're not going to be expanding and becoming more capable and faster and that sort of stuff. Any, you know, they will, obviously, but I don't think it's just going to be as bad where you have to get a new video card every year or you can't play the new games.
So it was actually – go ahead. Go ahead.
I was everybody wanted to jump in on that. That was such an interesting point. You actually think we've reached a sort of a plateau in terms of the PC arms race?
I think we have. I think that, you know, I mean, who needs a computer? I mean, anybody I talk to, well, anybody outside of, you know, my main circle of friends, you know, the average American, all they need is the internet and apps. They don't need what a computer does. Now, I've got some friends who work from home, so, yeah, they're going to need the computer to run specific software and that sort of thing. But there is no need for the computer and the processor like there was in years past. I think, you know, most people just need something to run an internet browser and a couple of apps.
The whole thing is kind of like everybody who jumped on the, hey, I use a computer now bandwagon are all the same people that instantly dropped off when they didn't need to use a computer anymore for the lame waste of time shit that they do anyway.
Exactly.
Wow. You are using some pretty strong points here.
I kind of like this. I like the notion that like the more geeky people will be able to look down with disdain at like the tablet users. Nice tablet, jerk.
We don't already do that.
I do.
Can you even type?
No, dude, that's exactly what's going to happen because the people that were into computers before mom, dad, and sister were into computers are going to be the same people that stay into computers and aren't. Yeah, they may have, you know, the iDevice. They may have a pad. But it's purely for gadget sake. When you really get down to it, any one of us that's talking right now, or probably even people that are listening to this, they're not going to get rid of their computer for a tablet or for a smartphone or anything like that. It's just not going to happen because it's too much of a part of who they are, what they are, and what we do. I mean, we had the knowledge before it was hip to have that knowledge, and we'll continue to have it afterwards.
All right, well, I'm going to take a quick survey then. Mr. Keith, last time you bought a PC was?
I bought a PC 2 years ago, and it was one bought and put together myself 2.5 years ago.
Mr. Rick, last time you bought a PC?
I bought a laptop within the last year and a piece, two PCs with one PC within the last year, a laptop within the last year, and another PC about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
I think we need to append the question because, I mean, I could buy a PC. At the time when I bought my PC, I didn't buy it with – the only thing that was top-notch in it was the processor. So, like, you know, like I was – and then a month later, Intel released the iProcessors, the i7s, and I got hosed. So I was really mad about that, but I wouldn't buy a new one because – I haven't bought one since because I've been waiting for the next processor. So since I got hosed on the i7, I won't buy the i7, but I want to wait for the next one. And I don't think it's ever going to come out.
All right. So, Mr. Tom, last time you bought a computer?
Do Macs count? Or are we strictly?
I guess they do.
I bought my current MacBook Pro probably – that was earlier this year, and then I bought my iMac, which I immensely enjoy, at the beginning of 2010. And I boot Windows on that as well as Mac OS, and I do use that for gaming, actually.
Right. Now, what kind of iMac did you get? Did you get the grape one or the orange one?
I got the tangerine. Yeah, I went with the a pretty beefy rig, and I have been able to play some games and enjoy it. That's what actually got me into Steam, because I had an older, you know, self-built PC, and it just wasn't really running anything worth a crap. And that thing can handle most things.
Oh, Steam is about the only reason I even play PC games anymore.
Well, it's interesting. See, for a long time, I think a lot of people were saying, oh, well, PC gaming's on its way out. You know, the consoles are here to stay, et cetera. But you get services like Steam and so on, you know, that sort of contradicts that thinking. That said, I mean, in terms of quality of play, and this is sort of a topic I wanted to broach during this session, how do you guys rate, you know, let's say modern day PC gaming, which I think is de facto online gaming. There are some single player games, obviously, you can play on the PC. That versus a similar experience on a console versus maybe console or PC gaming before there was internet gaming, you know, maybe just in a LAN setting versus, you know, going way back to when there, you know, there was no internet and you were just playing consoles in the living room. I mean, versus an arcade, say. I'd like to kind of walk through those and see if anybody has a favorite or if you feel gaming has increased or decreased in quality.
I have definitely become more console-centric as the years have gone by. When I was, say, 8 years old, it was nothing but PC games for me. It was the old, what were they, TSR Gold Box games, Pools of Radiance, Hills Farm, ooh, those things. Oh, those were my bread and butter. I cut my teeth on those. Like there was nothing I did besides those, like occasionally some Mega Man junk, but whatever. And, you know, now, like, the PC games to me were always the more time-consuming games. I think it's a better system for traditional role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've gotten older, I don't have time for that so much anymore because I have, like, jobs and just generally trying to attempt to have some kind of social life. Mm. Doesn't work out for me, so I play a lot of more...
Would you want to do that?
You know what? It's... Sometimes I question the logic, honestly. But the thing is, you know, as I get older, I play a lot more Twitch-based console games. And I think that's kind of where I've been going. If I have, like, a long weekend, I'll boot up Team Fortress 2, and I'll just, you know, I'll look up, and it'll be 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll realize that I'll have spent, like, 12 hours straight in front of my computer. And that's what PC gaming is for me now.
How about you, Keith? Even though I think we know you're PC-centric.
I am definitely a PC-centric guy. I don't know. I think my whole life I'm kind of in this modular mode where the computer is for games, the TV is for television and movies, and so on and so forth, although I'm slowly coming around to building a media PC where everything's in one place and it's all on the TV, whatever. But as far as – I mean, I haven't experienced a lot of console gaming outside of maybe some PS2 or Xbox 360 gaming here or there at a friend's house. So I can't say – I can't poo-poo it. I can poo-poo the controller. But so I haven't really experienced them on the computer. It's pretty interesting. I played the same game for about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, Tribes 2. That's all I played. I didn't play anything else. That game was ridiculously old and outdated, but I would still play it. Then some friends got me hooked on World of Warcraft, which is currently a 6-year-old game, and that's all I play. So I'm like, it's not even graphically amazing looking. The gameplay, I mean, it's probably still the best as far as those kind of games go. But it's, you know, it's that sort of thing. The only newish games that I played Call of Duty, which was amazing on the computer. I played Prototype, which I freaking loved, but that was also on consoles. So I never compared that on a computer without playing on a console, but I loved playing it on the computer.
Well, I think that brings up a pretty good point. A lot of the games that come out for console simply do not see a PC release.
Yeah, there's actually – I was listening to an interview with the guys from Rockstar and with – I forget what the game was, Red Dead Redemption, I think. When they released that, they purposefully did not release it for PC because they said that they actually wanted to make money on it for a little while. And if you release something on PC, it's easily hackable and crackable, and, you know, it gets out there to millions of people where they don't have to pay for it. So they released it for the console.
Let's be fair. Rockstar PC ports don't have a very a very good history. Some of, like, the Grand Theft Auto games were kind of garbage when they ported them to PC.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But they were still fun.
Well, they're better on console, though.
Most definitely. But, yeah, so, I mean, that was one of the reasons, and I would imagine that a lot of companies are looking at it that way. Like, you know, we don't want to necessarily release it on PC because, frankly, more people have PS3s and Xbox 360s than people have computers at this point, I would think. And the majority of the youth gaming industry is playing on consoles rather than computers.
Hmm.
Dumb kids.
Indeed. Rick, what about you? You seem to be on board with the console revolution.
I've always been a fair proponent of both. I've always been as addicted to my Apple IIe and Commodore 64 as I was my Atari 2600. So for me, I've always been probably behind the curve with everybody else. Like, I won't jump on right away. I'll wait and see what happens. And I was on board through the PlayStation craze really late in, though. I jumped on board with the PS1 super late and then rode the PS2 wave throughout. And that was really around the same time as, you know, Unreal Tournament and Quake and everything started ruining the awesome experience that I used to have. And it was really just because of hacks, cheats, just macros, just, I don't know. It became like more of a pissing contest than fun, strategical gameplay. And I just lost interest. And it kind of spoiled me on the whole gameplay experience in general. I think as far as the different eras, as much fun as I've had playing online or modem games, you know, LAN parties and whatever, still nothing was as fun as multiple people on the same console.
Video that, slap.
Like, exactly. Playing, whether it be Skate or Die, Double Dragon, or Space Invaders on the 2600, or Mario Lemieux Hockey on the Sega. I mean,
oh, blasphemy.
The
NHLPA Hockey 93 for Sega Genesis. Far superior.
NHL 99 for PlayStation 1 is, in fact, my, and I hate sports, we know this, is my favorite game of all time because of the fun that we used to have at my apartment, just balls out, crazed with playing this thing. And it was really just because no split screen bullshit, no playing online and people being assholes. It's just, it was just straight up.
No connection. You're right there with your buddies. You exactly. Can punch them in the eye when they, yes. They make you mad.
Exactly.
Body yes. Check them off the couch.
Exactly.
So you'd say we're missing that in-person social aspect of playing a console in the living room together.
Yes. But now I'm also speaking from kind of not fully experience as well. Because I can tell you this, when I'm sitting there playing BC2 on either Vietnam or 1943, I'm going through this and when I'm having a phenomenal time. There's no doubt about it. I am immersed in this game. I am that sniper. I am this dude. That is my team. That is my flag. But I'm by myself.
Mm.
I crave to have... All I say is, dude, Keith would fucking never play his computer again if he was here. He would never touch it again. I wish Tom was here. I wish Grant was here. Like, so I can't say that it wouldn't be the same experience as, you know, sitting on the living room couch together. Because I think it might be because the game is so much more immersive. You know what I mean? And being able to have that headset talking to each other, it may be damn close, but I don't know because I haven't experienced it yet.
Now, do any of y'all have older or younger siblings?
I have younger.
You never did the co-op video gaming with them as a kid or anything?
Yeah, like me and my brother used to play Sick from school. And, like, have asteroid tournaments all day on 2600.
There we go. See, those are my memories of, like, multiplayer video gaming with my brother and I during the summer or whatever. Basically just going through all the split-screen games, all the co-op games. I remember during a rather large blizzard, the year Secret of Mana came out.
Ooh.
I just sat around and we just chored all the way through Secret of Mana basically in the course of a week off of school because of snow days. And when I think of multiplayer gaming, those are what I think of. And still to this day, I definitely prefer the co-op games to, you know, death matches or team death matches.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you on that, because that brings back the days of co-oping through Double Dragon or playing a Double Dribble and that wrestling game. Remember that wrestling game with Starman on NES?
Oh, pro wrestling.
That shit was the best, dude.
I did love that game. I did love the piranha chomping someone's face off.
He was basically Blanca. Yeah, he's from Brazil too.
Actually, correct. That is so.
So yeah, dude. Co-op. That's that. I guess that's the term I wasn't really coming up with, but
yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah, I like the idea of co-op gaming on pretty much any of the platforms.
And it's interesting. I mean, if you think about co-op in the context of the older games, be they arcade or console games of let's call it the 16-bit era, if you were playing Double Dragon in the arcade, you were standing next to your partner. If you were playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the arcade, you were standing next to your three partners playing together. But the games lent themselves to multiple people performing action on the screen. I think today with the sort of first-person shooter craze, everyone almost demands their own screen. There are split screen modes, but I don't know that you can have the cooperative experience in the living room with most games people want to play these days that you could have back then, even though consoles support multiple controllers.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you, Mr. Tom.
Well, you're wrong.
I think there's this definite mindset where people just don't like split screen games. And I think it's entirely unfounded. Like, I know you don't like split-screen games. I know, Rick, you don't like split-screen games.
Not at all.
I was just saying, when you think about it, like, I'm used to playing, and I grew up playing video games on a screen about the quarter of the size of the one in my living room now. Like, I don't mind losing, that half a screen to a co-op partner. I'm fine with that. And I would still much prefer being in the same room, having a pizza, having a 2-liter of Code Red, and, whatever the heck else there on the table. I prefer that to one of my friends being online. Hey, you want to play some Halo, bro? Let's play some Halo.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, me and a buddy, racing games is the only time where we do it for Need for Speed or in
Grand Theft Auto. Oh, yeah.
You got half a screen, and these days it'd even be smaller with the widescreens. But, me and one of my buddies, we would play those all the time. I mean, I go over his house and we just race and race and race. But I don't know if you guys have heard of the new technology that they're using. I know Sony's releasing it on their 3D TVs.
Yes.
What they do is they set one of the projections. I think they're using polarization, so mm-hmm. you can have two people playing on the same screen and you both have different screens, but they're full screen.
Nice. One of you
is in one polarity, the other one's in the other polarity, so there's no more split screen. And I think they released that in a 24-inch monitor, 3D monitor.
That's
do that with the
cool.
PS3. That's way cool.
I think it's a solution to a problem that doesn't need to exist.
I don't know.
Just swallow your tech love. This isn't something that needs to be solved with a new $3,000 TV and a couple pairs of $100 glasses. Just admit, you know what? Instead of playing on a 60-inch TV, I'm going to play on two 30-inch TVs and be fine with that. You got your friends over. You have a couple beers open. It's still a good
time. To me, it's the distraction. It's hard, it's hard to keep focused on what the hell's going on.
You turn a corner, your car wipes out. You're looking at the screen. You're like, oh wait, which one's me now?
Right.
I'll say this. I'm sort of loathe to do in person split screen, but Grant and I had a run for a while where we were just on this Halo kick, playing split screen campaign mode. And, it took me a little getting used to, but it brought me back to a time when, way back in the day when I, had a blast playing four player split screen GoldenEye or Mario Kart or games like that. It is just a matter of wrapping your mind around the fact that you have to split the screen. And it's shocking how you will really just focus in on your play field and not concern yourself with the other guys. I mean, I don't really know if I want a seizure or a brain tumor from this polarized experience that you described. I mean,
well,
if
polarization doesn't flash, so that's an advantage.
Yeah, it's the same technology used in Captain EO, which, you know, pretty big pedigree there.
Everybody loves EO. Michael.
I'm pretty sure your synapses don't flash anymore after enough exposure to that technology, but I guess what I'm saying is if you ask me on an average day, I'll scoff at the notion of split screen, but when pressed, I can have a good time playing a split screen game.
So, Tom, if I bought you Resistance 3 for your birthday coming up, two-player, same computer or same console co-op. I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm too cheap for that. You might get a copy of Body Counts or something. It's like a $10 download.
I would play that. I think I would do that. I could get past the, you know, selfish impulse to want the whole screen to myself. I could pull it off, but I mean, I guess I see both sides of this.
I can definitely see the other side of it. I would prefer to have the whole screen, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to get out there and actually interface with other human beings. It's one of those unfortunate realities.
Here's the point I think that I'm trying to make. I think today's game, you know, the first person shooter, is I won't say it's king, but it's definitely part of the royal family.
Well, it's king. It's king.
Okay. It demands screen real estate. A game, and I don't know, Rick or Keith, if you're familiar with the one Grant was referencing before, it was Secret of Mana. It was an overhead action role-playing game where you had your little sprite-based characters and up to three of you could play together. Right. And you were all on the same screen, you know, doing battle. I don't know that type of 2D
kind of like Gauntlet, the old coin-op?
Much like Gauntlet, kind of similar. Actually. Yeah. You know, generally similar.
Or Diablo.
Another good reference. Yes, actually, very similar.
Yes, yeah. I mean, games like Diablo, there are exceptions, but for the most part, you know, people want, you know, first-person shooter just demand this generous screen real estate. So,
yeah, I got to say, when I was playing Crysis, I would have been really mad playing that on a split screen because it looked amazing. It was part of that whole immersive thing. You know, you're playing it on a 24-inch monitor with the graphics cranked all the way up, and you were there, man. It was just amazing. And I think, you know, you lose a little bit of that. It's like I'm no longer my character. I'm a dude sitting in front of a computer playing a game. I get kind of that feel with the split screens. But like I said, mostly for racing, I had never had a problem with it. And I've never really played any like first-person shooter type games in a split-screen format.
Well, split-screen's not very prevalent on PC at all.
No.
It's not, yeah, it's not a there thing wouldn't that happens be a, on PC.
Right.
Well, not prevalent. It was. Could you? What would you do? Like crisscross? Like one guy would have the keyboard, the other guy would have the mouse. Yeah.
No, dude, there were.
Dude, I've played games like that.
I've played games like that too.
Kong Combat. Yeah.
I used WASD and use the arrow keys.
Yes. What game was that we used to do that on?
I don't know, man.
Chinese finger torture. That sounds horrible.
It was.
Yeah, it's rough.
Sharing a set of headphones with one ear.
I get the left mouse button, you get the right one. That's an off-control paradigm.
Hey, you laugh. My brother and I used to do that with Earth Siege, was it? It was one of those mech combat games.
Yeah, that's it.
And one of us would man all the controls, and the other one would actually just aim and shoot.
Playing mech warrior. Yeah.
That was my second favorite wave on Tron.
Wait, what was your favorite wave then?
Light Cycles.
I have to agree with that. Light Cycles were cool.
Discs of Tron guy myself.
Discs of Tron.
Oh, I love Discs of Tron.
Yes, Discs of Tron ruled.
But you can only play that game in the stand-up version with the surround sound. I won't play it any other way.
I didn't even know there was another way.
I've seen stand-up ones where it's just a screen in front of you. I'm like, what fun is that?
You know, it's got to be the box.
Yeah.
My favorite level on the first Tron is the one where you're shooting at the MCP and you got...
You're throwing the discs at the things?
You're shooting
the worst one.
You're shooting balls at the rainbow force field.
Yeah, you're throwing your disc.
Love that game. I love that level. That's my favorite level. And then at the end, you always make him jerk off because his hand moves in the motion.
Spin the wheel.
You spin the wheel just ever so lightly, and it looks like he's wanking it. and then
here we go. Real tips from the pros here, listeners. Real tips.
And then he gets sucked up into the field, and you're done.
Well, guys, I think we've seemed to have touched on fond memories of game experiences on home console and arcades, online, and split screen in person. I think the moral of this story is gaming's whatever you make of it, no matter what mode you're playing.
That's true, Tommy.
Sitcom? What is this?
What
did this turn into?
I think we've learned something today.
Thanks, Dad.
I think we can all figure out how to play games together in the way that we all like.
No, I refuse now. I refuse to do anything as a team with you all ever again.
Tom sounds like he's outside.
Right now I do?
Yeah. I hear cars.
Oh, hang on. Let me close this window.
Because you are outside.
How's that?
I still hear cars.
I still hear... That was good, Grant.